Good morning, Nashville. J-Mart and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors here in Middle Tennessee. Alongside Ramon Foster, Will Bowling with you. Jonathan Schaefer, our producer, a day off for Jason Martin.
Loafing.
People are calling it the Timon and Pumbaa Show, Ramon Foster. Good morning.
Good morning, Will. How was yesterday's rebound for you, man?
Wasn't too bad. I don't know when I'm going to hit the brick wall, but I hope it doesn't happen.
Hope it's fake bricks,
it'll
foam
probably
bricks.
Happen.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt about it. It usually does, Will, especially for a newbie like yourself.
It's fair.
It'll come. But hey, you're doing the job.
We're doing the job. Mm-hmm. We're out here grinding, as the folks say.
According to Coach Mack, this ain't work.
That's true.
Hey.
To be out there digging ditches right now.
Hey, it's cold.
It is way too cold outside.
It's 20 degrees this morning.
It didn't feel like it was ever in the 30s yesterday when the sun was out. And today it feels like it's in the 10s.
But
me.
You know what? I'll say this. I had on some running pants yesterday. You know, the thinner, like, jogger pants, whatever you want to call them.
You know, from a workout.
I got some jokes for him right now in this offseason. Can't pick right. Can I call him that?
Uh-oh.
You throw shots, I throw shots back.
And it's 6:03. We have the first first Molotov cocktail that has been lofted at John Robinson.
But you know, shout out to the people at my gym yesterday. It was jumping in there yesterday, too safely, I will add. But I hop out the truck to go pump some diesel yesterday, right? And you know what I did, Will? Almost ashamed to say it. Put the pump into the tank.
Uh-huh.
I got back in the car. I was like, am I pumped for this? Because it was cold.
You're just like us mere mortals.
But, you know, underneath the canopy where the gas pumps are, it's actually the correct temperature. And I was actually pretty cold yesterday pumping a diesel, man.
You surely were a no-sleeve guy, too, in Pittsburgh.
Phrasing?
Oh, that was
wow.
Hey, now.
6:03.
6:03.
Once a minute here.
Yeah, I was always a no-sleeve guy. Always. Yeah. I used to lather up with what they used to call that hot skin. That stuff didn't work, Will. Mm-hmm. It was a mindset.
Oh.
I legitimately used to lather up in that. I tried Vaseline and the hot skin also. Capsaicin. Don't get that in the wrong spot either, by the way.
I feel like you've kind of done your time, though, of being like the cold weather tough guy.
Yeah.
Because that's part of your job.
You know what I have transitioned into as we try to transition out of that funk from Saturday, too?
Yeah.
Was that cool radio right there? That was like a...
It was great.
It was
radio professional. You're a radio guru like Coach Dave McGinnis.
I'll keep on, man. But I used to hate the summertime because that was where all my time was spent.
Yeah.
I hated the summertime. Like,
interesting.
My trainer, James, I'm talking about, dog, we going outside today? Yep. You know what I'm saying?
And the game's played outside?
Yep.
Then, all right, yeah.
So it was between training here in Tennessee. Okay, by the way, I was at Brentwood High, Brentwood Academy, like
Shout
all
out.
The schools in Frank. That's
that.
Your time.
Yes, sir.
Okay. But I'm training in all these places because we just, you know, switch up the location and stuff for no particular reason at all. And it was hot, Will. Like, I got videos of me of just, like, sun pouring, like, legitimately pouring from me. And we just run, and we do drills, and we do runs, and we do drills in this hot Tennessee, humid, thick air.
Yeah.
So when I was done, I'm in the house.
Uh-huh.
I'm in the house. Like, I don't even want to be outside. I hated my kids' sports as far as baseball and doing the...
Really glad you added sports at the end of that statement, by the way.
Because...
Oh, I hated my kids after working out. It was just, gosh, they just wanted my attention. And
forget them kids.
You know what I'm saying? And then there's the idea that we went on vacations. You know what I'm saying? Like, to the beach. Like, why are we at the beach? You know I'm outside all the time. I dreaded it. Like, I legitimately dreaded being outside. So now that I'm, like, temperature correct now is what I call it in my post-football life. I'm temp correct. I'm out here like, screw this wintertime.
Yeah.
Hashtag elite athlete problems.
Bougie Brentwood problems right there.
Bougie Brentwood. By the way. But, like, now I'm like, I enjoy going on summer vacations. I enjoy being at the park now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I enjoy, like... When is spring break? What are we doing for summer vacation? Like, those are the conversations I have. Like, I'm going to complain about it being hot because why is Tennessee and it's humid? But I actually enjoy doing outside activities now. Will.
You enjoy your children now?
I enjoy you. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, so yesterday when I said it was cold, like it was legitimately like, okay, man, it's cold outside.
I don't know what it is right now. Like maybe the air is like dry. I'm not exactly a meteorologist. We have a meteorologist in Rhett Bryan coming up later on in the show at 9 o'clock, but I don't know. It's the wind and the people always make the claim of, oh, you can put more layers on. Like, nope, I don't care. I love the summers because you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
It's also harder for me to keep my apartment like not completely messy. Like, I think I have a stack of clothes. It's almost like it's growing at the rate I was when I was in like high school. Because you like put on so many jackets and then you have more layers that you have to like put away.
Or maybe you're just a slack ass.
I'm working at 6 a.m., so I don't know. I mean,
oh, there it is.
You put in your laundry in the middle of the day is what you do.
Smart. Hey, today, the big question on today's show that we want to get your reaction on and something we're going to talk with our guests about and kind of gauge the temperature of this fan base going through the steps of denial and the steps of going through a breakup that this city kind of just went through with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, for real.
What's the first move the Titans make this offseason? I don't want to talk about draft priorities. I don't want to talk about the quarterback that you want. I don't want to talk about Matt Corral or Malik Willis. I don't want to hear any of the draft stuff, all right? Because the problem, Ramon, with mock drafts at the end of January is the amount of free agency that still has to be done just to like make the first round of your draft board. There's so much more of a process that goes into this versus just, oh, you know, 615-737-1045, who should the Titans draft in the first round? And no, it's like it's not time to do that yet. So it is time to say, what's the first signing? What's the first phone call you're making if you're John Robinson this offseason?
Man, I'm saying two in the zone chat right now. I'm sure you're picking up on it too. People want some changes, Will.
Yeah, they do.
People want changes, and you know what? You can't blame them. That's one thing I've gotten from this past week. What are we, Saturday night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday? We're in day five of rehab right now, Will. Right. You got your notepad that you're writing notes to people on the outside about. What are you doing in your fan base?
It is. I mean, it's fascinating to watch, though, how other teams are going through these processes.
Yeah.
Because everybody is in salary cap hell right now.
Yeah.
And especially the New Orleans Saints, who don't have a head coach.
Well, that situation. And also, what do you think about McCarthy? You know, like, with Sean Payton saying, I mean, just, he had, what, a 90-minute presser yesterday, Will, what we saw? As far as the timing goes?
Literally, so people, I saw a joke on Twitter that Sean Payton was going to wait till 2022 or 2023 to coach, and his press conference was going to end around 2023 as well.
You know, he just spent some time with it. Like, he said he went on a vacation, or the ownership in New Orleans allowed him to go on vacation for about 2 weeks. So he really talked like he was in vacation mode. But aside that, as far as Sean Payton goes, I think everybody and their mama knows that Jerry Jones has always had a crush on Sean Payton, too.
And rightfully so.
And with what McCarthy has done this year, first round for them, like they were wild card round.
Right.
When they were a daggone good team, too. And when you have Jerry say, we have the roster for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you look at the roster. Dak just got paid. Really good quarterback. I don't know where he stands on the Richter scale as far as, okay, how he moves the needle. But he has that. He has that O-line, though, that is aging. I don't love their left guard. I don't love their right tackle either. But all the other tools that they have, they got the wide receivers. They got the running backs with an S.
Yeah, they do.
You know?
They've got one of the best second running backs probably in the NFL.
Pollard, oh my God.
He might have been better than Ezekiel Elliott this year if he had had that amount of touches.
The last 2 years.
Yeah.
I think the last 2 years he has. That P word for him, potential, he's one of them situations where running backs always just seem to get knocked. I don't know if he's a complete feature guy.
Right.
But would you love him as a compliment here?
Oh, gosh.
You know what I'm saying? Just throwing it out there.
And I think that's a sneaky, valuable asset that could be coming to the Titans this offseason.
You see what I'm saying?
Is a runner that complements Derrick Henry.
Because
I actually disagree with a lot of what I heard on the station yesterday, that Deontay Foreman should stick around as the second back in this offense.
It's too familiar, right?
Deontay Foreman is the same role as Derrick Henry.
Very same.
Yeah.
Very same. So, you know, you speak about these offseason moves. I do think we'll want to just, you know, throw that bait out there. I do think you need a compliment at that position like that. Right. As not the same guy. And not the most obvious pick either. Because you knew when McNichols or who else was in the backfield was coming in.
It was Hilliard in there too.
Yeah. It was passing.
Yeah, for sure.
You're passing back. So I think the evolution of this offense under Todd Downing has to incorporate a guy like that.
I agree. 615-737-1045 is the number if you want to jump in on the conversation. Coming up here in a minute, though, we're going to hear again from Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack, and there is a lot of information packed into our conversation with him. Quarterbacks that could be reasonable possibilities for the Tennessee Titans, where big-name quarterbacks could land in the vicinity of the Titans in the AFC, plus the most likely candidate to be cut by this Tennessee Titans organization going into the offseason. We've got that coming up. We've got this question through the entire show. What's the first move you are making if you are John Robbins in this offseason? We've got Emily Proud of News 2 coming up at 8:20. Rhett Bryan of Titans Radio at 9 o'clock. And our guy, Inky Johnson,
yes,
midweek
sir.
Motivation to finish off the show today. A jam-packed 4 hours. Don't blink. You just might miss it. Mike Jannetty, SpotTrack, coming up next right here at 104.5 The Zone. A very good Wednesday morning to you here on J Mart and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone at J Mart and Ramon on Twitter. Will Bowling, Ramon Foster back with you. Lots to unpack in the NFL offseason where lots of teams are in unique salary cap situations. The restructuring of 2020 and 2021 makes for a very interesting 2022. And we had the chance to catch up with Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack, a salary cap expert who dropped a lot of nuggets about what the Titans can do this offseason. With how many restructures and kind of reworking of contracts as there were in 2020 and going into 2021, are teams kind of in weird predicaments going into 2022? How does those mass restructure of contracts affect how teams approach 2022 this offseason?
That's an excellent question. That's literally what I've been sitting here for the last couple of days trying to figure out is how do teams get away from problems and not take too much of a financial hit, because it's not like the Titans are flush with cap space right now. In fact, they probably have to unlock about $20-25 million for this offseason push. So, wow. You know, what do you do with situations like a Julio Jones and, of course, a Tannehill, a couple other players that are at least questionable right now, right? Like fringe bubble players because mm-hmm. of how quickly things have to improve for this roster, which is not going to be a rebuild. This is not a rip the Band-Aid off moment for Tennessee. So your question is on par. There were, you know, dozens of restructures across the league, and Tennessee had four or five big ones. Both of those guys included, Tannehill's big one, Julio Jones' big one, pretty much locks them in. So it's going to be a big trade-off season is where I'm alluding to with this, because outright releases, even those post-June 1st releases, just aren't going to free up enough cap space to make teams happy, to make it worth their time. So I do think we'll get a decent amount of trading because of what we have here.
So as far as that, you mentioned the word trading. And there's a guy that's in the mix of this too, because of course you see, you know, your Josh Allen, your Patrick Mahomes, your young gunners of this league, and you say, man, I want one of those. And right now that's where this fan base is, as according to Ryan Tannehill. So I'm asking you, this $57.4 million cap hit, where does that actually sit as far as trade value? Is that even a conversation to be had when it comes down to, you know, finding a guy or finding a team for Ryan Tannehill, if that's the case?
I think you could find a team, because I think Ryan Tannehill is an upgrade for a lot of other franchises. The question to me is, how do you upgrade? what are you getting back, or what are you drafting, or you know, what kind of lightning are you going to find in a bottle that is an actual upgrade to Ryan Tannehill? And I realize he has his decision-making woes, and you know, there are throws that he needs to make better. But to me, that's the question with a lot of these organizations. Like, I put the Colts in this conversation. I put the Vikings in this conversation, the Browns as well. Like, are you getting a slam dunk upgrade by making a rash move in the next couple of weeks? Or is it better off you just kind of let this thing ride out, improve what's around him, and see what you can do for one more season? I tend to sit in that boat with Tannehill, because you're right, the money is ugly. But you can free up $29 million of cap if you trade him after June 1st. So there's a move financially to make here, but what are you getting in return for it?
Mike Genetti is spot track with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Mike, when you look at the cap hits and the amount of dead cap, there's one number that sticks out for the Tennessee Titans, and that is the left tackle. Taylor Lewan is a guy that a lot of people are going to talk about when it comes to moving on from him, because his dead cap is much, much lower than a lot of the guys around the same cap hit number as him. Do you feel like that is somebody that makes sense for the Titans to move on from, given that $20 to $25 million number you mentioned they're going to have to generate?
The good news with him is his dead cap is only in this year. There's no dead cap next year, which means you can wait. There's no difference in doing it tomorrow versus June 15th. So I think you see what happens with this draft. I do believe that they're going to be identifying a tackle early in this draft. That, to me, that's a pressing need with the situation you're talking about here. And then you can move on from Lewan if you have to. Now, that's not good for the player. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure.
Generally, players like to get released right away, be able to find their next team. And maybe that's what happens. Maybe they understand exactly what their plan is going to be, and they feel comfortable moving on from him March 16th. But they do have some flexibility with him. And by the way, maybe he's tradable. Maybe there's a late-round pick to bring him off with fairly reasonable salaries to get moved off. So I think there's options with him, but he is certainly at the top of the bubble list for me.
You got it.
Sure. Go ahead.
So another question is a theory. Conspiracy theories has started early in Tennessee as far as the offseason and positions and what do they need to do to, you know, make this team better. One position that I always kind of get crapped upon, and that's the running back position, Mike. How do you view, you know, Derrick Henry as far as, you know, the idea, okay, we ride with him, or do you go find somebody cheaper? I know his idea, no, don't do that. But as far as team flexibility with the cap, where are you with that position as a whole?
Yeah, I got a love-hate relationship with it, unfortunately. I love to watch it. I love the kind of players that position pumps out. But financially speaking, it's just hard to do it now. It's just really hard to see $10 million plus at that position with any kind of regularity. And unfortunately, you know, this was the year where Derrick Henry's contract had a major out. So, you know, it's safe to say that those kind of questions are out there right now.
Yeah.
And certainly the injury didn't help. He's a restructure candidate for me. I think you got to keep him. I think this guy has miles left. You know, you do have some deficiencies with Tannehill, as we mentioned, and I believe you're going to have to keep him for one more year. So why not keep your best offensive weapon right next to him for at least one more year and push some cap down the line, free it up to keep thinner, bring back Landry and some other options like that, and add a wide receiver, which is a huge need for this team right now. So I think you can restructure Henry pretty confidently. Keep him around for one more season, and then, you know, 2023, if it doesn't go well in terms of wins, could be carnage in terms of the salary cap.
Mike, two guys that are on pace for big contract extensions in the coming years, Jeffrey Simmons and A.J. Brown, both members of a really good 2019 draft class for this Tennessee Titans team, both guys who are going to get paid sooner rather than later. Which of those two guys makes the most sense to extend now, and which of the two are you waiting a little bit longer to extend?
I think I'm signing them both right now. I know that there's not a lot of cap, you know, to be thrown around right now, but I'm not worried so much about the cap, because generally with these extensions off of rookie contracts, you can keep that first year cap hit pretty neutral. And I know Simmons, they're both going to be about $20 million, or, you know, $20, $21 million. That's just the going rate for their positions respectively. So it's going to hurt in a couple of years, but I think those are two players you can rely on outside of injuries to just be core, you know, confident annual traditions. So I'm doing it now because I want to keep my cap situation as easy as possible, and I can build in restructures next year. I can kind of finesse this thing as we need to go, but I don't want to screw around with those core players, especially if we're headed towards some major change in the next couple of years. You want a guy you can throw the ball to. You're probably dropping Julio Jones off this roster and drafting a young kid anyway this year. So I like the idea of a veteran wide receiver and a veteran, certainly defensive lineman, who can be versatile across that line. Those are positions you just need no matter who the quarterback is.
Well, Mike, speaking of other extensions too, Harold Landry, a guy that's certainly a little bit more of a pressing issue considering the fact that he's a free agent right now. Going into this offseason, Titans defenders met with the media yesterday, and pretty much the overarching thought from all of them was, hey, you got to bring Harold Landry back. Kevin Byard even said, if I got to restructure my contract again like I did so we could get Clowney, I'll do it. So Harold Landry's going to come back. What kind of number do you think Landry gets in the open market? How practical is it for him to remain a Tennessee Titan next year?
Yeah, it's not practical because of everything we're talking about. There's a lot going on, a lot of moving pieces. But unfortunately, it's going to look just like that Bud Dupree contract, in my opinion. You know, upwards of $17 million per year on a 4 or 5 year term. So, you know, do you restructure Dupree? Do you restructure Byard? I think, like I said, I've answered that question. I think you do whatever you have to do with a couple of the guys you're confident in, and hope that it works out for the best. I think that's too important of a position. With an offense that kind of sputters at times, you don't want to give away pass rush. You don't want to give away any kind of secondary work. I think that's the right position to be paying right now, especially with Dupree having the season he just had.
We have somebody ask the question, you know, as far as weapons, tools, that's what we've seen with all these teams. All these quarterbacks have real strong weapons. Who's a 2022 free agent wide receiver that, you know, could help this team, this offense out? Because every Batman needs a Robin. And I'm not saying, you know, the receiver coming in here is a Robin, but Tannehill needs more weapons.
Yeah, no question about it. And I'm not sure they have the capital to go out and pay a big free agent. I think they're going to have to do it through the draft, which they're limited there as well, unfortunately. But it's a heck of a wide receiver draft class. It's a pretty good tight end draft class as well. And I know that's a pressing need for that roster right there. But maybe it's a situation where you draft a third-round wide receiver and you sign a free agent tight end. There's going to be a decent amount of them out there. Blake Jarwin's going to fall off the Dallas Cowboys. I like him as a cheap option to make a bounce back from his injuries. Maybe one of those young rookies that didn't pan out, O.J. Howard and Evan Engram. I like taking a chance on those kind of players cheap this offseason. But look, if you're swinging big, Allen Robinson's a great fit. He's a great fit for a lot of organizations. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to break the bank. That's a guy that his value kind of tanked on a really bad Bears offense this year. Can you sneak him in for, you know, $16 million per year over 4 years? That's a move I'd love to see a couple of these teams make.
I'm actually on your website right now, and I'm looking, you know, down the roster, and there's one name I don't see as far as 2022 salary cap goes, and that's Ben Jones. Didn't realize his deal was up after 21. In your opinion, do you go get a veteran guy out there? I'm not sure if Rodney Hudson is, you know, up or as far as Arizona goes, or do you go in the draft at that position?
I don't think you have the draft capital to take a center this year. Jeez. Unfortunately, I think you've got too many mouths to feed, so you're going to have to find somebody. You know, there's a chance a player like Mitch Morse falls off the Buffalo Bills for cap purposes. Mm-hmm. So I think there'll be a few options. I like the Hudson move as well. He's shown wherever he goes, he makes things better. So. Mm-hmm. There's going to be those guys out there. Unfortunately, it's a position that doesn't stick too long on a roster. But Ben Jones is up for money, and I don't think Tennessee can afford it.
Mike Denny is spot track with us here on J-Mart and Ramon. Mike, of the four teams that just began their off seasons, which of these four teams is in the worst salary cap spot? I know there's been a lot of talk about Green Bay and the guys they got to extend, and obviously Aaron Rodgers' future, but where do the Titans kind of stack up against the other teams that just started their off seasons over the weekend?
Yeah, they're right in the middle of the mix here. I mean, the Packers are a disaster right now because there's so many unknowns, and, you know, there's three defensive edge rushers who account for like $53 million in cap right now.
Right.
So there's a lot of moving parts happening in Green Bay. I mean, you know, not even the bigger ones that we've talked about so much. But Tennessee and Buffalo are kind of in the same boat, with the exception that Buffalo loves their quarterback, and I'm not sure Tennessee does right now. So similar situations, but I do believe Tennessee has as much moving pieces as Green Bay will. And even if it's not the quarterback position, you know, there's a wide receiver situation. There's a tight end situation. There's a couple of edge rushers. There's a cornerback to be added. It's very patterned with what Green Bay is going to be doing this offseason. So probably more movement than a team that got to the divisional round wants to be doing, but that's what we have in a hard cap sport here.
Mike, one final question for you. This has all been great stuff.
It is.
Titans fans are looking for that next quarterback. And there's been already a lot of talk about Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, guys that are not really practical for this team going into this offseason. But what practical options might be available if the Titans want to try to find another low-risk, low-money kind of guy like they found in Ryan Tannehill a couple of years ago? Is there a guy out there that fits as a veteran or a younger guy who could kind of push the quarterback situation a bit here in Tennessee?
I'm watching where Russell Wilson ends up. because that's the situation I really want to monitor if I'm a couple of teams like this with limited cap situations. I don't believe they're in the market for Russell Wilson. I don't think they can handle another $40 million contract right now, to be honest. So what happens if Russell Wilson goes to the New York Giants? I realize Daniel Jones looks and smells pretty bad right now, but that's a situation where you know, that is a Tannehill type situation where it looked like that in Miami for Ryan, and then he switched scenery and things got better quickly. So Daniel Jones is basically non-guaranteed after this season. It's a very small $1.5 million salary. If Russell Wilson ends up as a Giant this offseason and they want to completely reconfigure that organization, what's it going to take to get him off of that on with 1 year left in his contract? That's what I'm monitoring right now. And, you know, similar with a Jordan Love, similar with, you know, who knows with Trey Lance, where that's headed. So I'm not thinking older veteran at this point. I'm poaching somebody's draft pick that they no longer have a use for. I think that's the chance I'm going to take.
Mike, I know we said that was the last question, but I got to feed the beast. Okay, you mentioned Russell Wilson. Is there an opportunity, a possibility, a sign and trade of, I don't know, to Seattle that Russ could end up here in Nashville, or that's just like, let's take that off the books already?
I can't see it. I can't see it. Unfortunately, I see Indy before I see Tennessee. Sure that's not going to be pleasant around here.
Ooh, wow.
Indy, the Giants. At one point, I thought the Saints were a legitimate option because of how quickly they want to fix things. Outside of that, Vegas is going to be in, but Tennessee's not on my list right now, unfortunately.
So there is Mike Jannetty of Spot Track with us yesterday. Very good conversation about where the Titans go next in free agency. And Ramon, the part that I want to highlight real quick.
Yeah.
The quarterback part of that is fascinating.
It is. It is very much so. Like I said, that conversation of making your division stronger.
Yeah.
That's a weird one right there, man.
Right.
Because we still don't know what's going to actually happen in Houston with that situation, man. There's a lot to digest in that one, Will.
Yeah,
like,
there
legitimately.
Is. Because I stand by what I said yesterday, that the day that someone in the AFC makes the power move and gets Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson,
yep,
it's going to change the whole vibe in the conference, especially if it's Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, if Aaron Rodgers does come to the AFC, you want to think there was a roadblock that Tom had on getting to the AFC championship, like to the conference game. If you bring Aaron over, you've got to deal with, now we'll just go good teams.
Right.
Well, we presume to be good teams next year also. Let's go Kansas City. Got to respect what they've done already.
Right.
You got to throw Cincinnati in there because, look, they're still playing right now, and they probably are – I don't know if there's a junior year because it's not – you know, sophomore slump. Burrow didn't have that. So, Cincy's in that conversation. You also got to throw Buffalo in that conversation.
Yeah.
I think the Chargers are in that conversation.
Raiders?
The Raiders – should be in that conversation still.
Right.
The Titans, because you know the team is, Vrabel's going to put a team together. Like,
yeah,
it's down and out, but you understand, like, this is going to be a team that's worthy of being put together. Baltimore, they finally got rid of Greg. No, was it Greg Roman or
Wink Martindale on defense?
They got rid of Wink.
Yeah.
But they had a whole lot of injuries, so Wink was the scapegoat.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
Golly, I'm seeing people saying hashtag fire Greg Roman more than any. So that's 6-7 teams right there. And we're talking about Aaron coming to the AFC. Potentially Denver is a landing place for him. Pittsburgh could be a landing place for him, maybe. I think the roster in Cleveland is going to be one that competes also.
Sure.
And again, if you throw, as Jannetty said, Russ in Indianapolis, that's 8-9 teams that are very, I think, on paper at the beginning of the season, where we're all just in the season of hope at that point.
Sure.
Every fan base is in the season of hope at that point. That's a very strong side of the league right there when considering what's actually left on the NFC side. NFC, Tampa, we don't know yet.
Right.
San Fran, we won't know, depending on Jimmy G, Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Rams, Cowboys.
Right.
I mean, the numbers are real low over there as far as, I think, quality. Minnesota, I don't count. Chicago, I think, is a little ways away.
At this point, Mahomes is the closest thing to what Tom Brady was of, yeah. You got to go through me to get to the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the first time ever that a AFC title has been played in the same place 4 years in a row.
Goodness gracious.
It's insane.
That's insane. So the thing, but even so, like, I'm actually shocked that these quarterbacks, free agent-wise, are even looking to come to the NFC. I mean, coming to the AFC.
Right.
Like, we say what you want to. It takes a whole lot of luck and positioning to actually get to the show sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the Patriots, I bring this up all the time, it's what the Patriots did for a very long time. You knew they were going to the playoffs. Why? Because they played in the AFC East.
Yeah. No doubt. 615-737-1045 is the phone number if you want to jump in. The question of the day for us is, what is the first move that you are making this offseason if you are the Tennessee Titans? We're asking that throughout the show today. We'll give you our thoughts coming up on that here in a couple minutes, plus your phone calls and more reaction to some of the interesting nuggets that Mike Jannetty said with us.
Yeah.
And one of those we have not yet talked about, Ramon, is at the offensive line position.
Whew.
Priorities or lack thereof. Mm-hmm. We'll do that coming up next. Jamar and Ramon right here, 104.5 The Zone. Jamar and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. I might get fired today.
No, you're going to get beat up.
I mean, you're imitating zone talent in the breaks.
You're going to have to fight somebody. At some point, you got to do it, Will.
Ramon, can you teach me some technique later?
No.
Perfect. You can't. All right.
No, I'll be there
Ramon
to break it up.
Ramon is actively participating in my downfall. Praying on my downfall.
Will has the best on-air impersonation of somebody at this show. And it is so spot. I want
to
tease it.
Nameless.
Oh, somebody on the station. Not somebody,
somebody
on
the station. Somebody on the station. It's so good.
Whenever I start talking about baseball, I start choosing violence more because people are really stupid. 615-737-1045. Talking about what we'll get to this eventually. I've got a warm up. I got a wake up board before I start imitating publicly.
That was good. I'm gonna tease it again. You're gonna do it on the show before the show's over with today.
Follow me.
We got to get to some calls. They want to talk about the offseason.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Oh yeah.
And I want to get into the offensive line part of this too because I got an 11-year NFL veteran offensive lineman sitting to my right today,
mm-hmm.
not to my left today.
I know something happened with the equipment over there, I guess, and I'm over here in bad spot.
You're a switch hitter.
Yeah.
You bat from both sides of the plate.
Yeah, in sports. Yeah. Yes, 100%.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, absolutely not. You live how you live, and I'm okay with it.
Don's livid that you're in her seat.
Livid. You know what was crazy?
What's up?
The seat that was originally over here had a lean to it.
Really?
I'm like, Don, what you got going on over here? Are you just like, what are you doing, body slamming Brent in the seat or something? That's the only thing I can think of.
The middle chair is always all the way down. I like being like above everyone. Like I'm taller than most people.
Sure, act like it most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
That's that Brentwood coming out of
37027, baby. Stand up. Brentwood, Tennessee, where are you at? Come on, Jonathan Schaefer. Let's go to the phones. Talking about the first move of the Titans offseason, Eric in Nashville leads us off this morning. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, Will. Hey, Ramon. How you guys?
I'm all right.
Good.
Hey, guys. Just a couple of things. First of all, you're talking about one of the first moves. Of course, hadn't been mentioned discussed yet, but certainly a move that they're going to have to make is addressing the tight end situation. I mean, because that has certainly been a big issue. And the fact is, I think Ferkser had only like one target during the game. That's something we're going to have to address and help in the running game and also receiver position. That's something you're really going to have to address. Also, another quarterback that's also kind of a wild card in the AFC, you did mention, what's you still got the Deshaun Watson situation that's hanging over the NFL and how that's going to be addressed. Because, you know, certainly before he was benched, I mean, he was playing spectacular and everything. You know, when he's going to come back, when and also to deal with all the charge and everything, you know, he's probably going to be out of the lineup for a while, at least for a number of games. It's just going to depend on how all that goes. But concerning also the offensive line, this is just my feeling. I could be wrong. I certainly this is what I believe. I believe that Ben Jones will not be back with the Titans next year. I think Saffold, you're going to have to look at that. Taylor Wan, I've heard reports he seems to think he's going to be back. But if he does come back, you're going to have to take less money, because he was hurt 2 years ago. And this past year, he missed a number of games out of the lineup because of his situation. So if he certainly comes back, I believe he's going to have to take less money. We're just going to see what happens with all that. Guys, I'll get off and let you get some other callers. Y'all take care.
You too, Eric.
The tight end position is where I'm going to go with this, too. When we have this full conversation coming up in hour two.
Yeah.
I think the way you make Ryan Tannehill as comfortable as possible is by getting a veteran tight end and using a late round pick on a younger tight end.
Yeah.
And give yourself options at that position.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a really good spot to start at as far as getting this offense together.
Right.
You know, what was spoken of last year, you know, sacks, getting to the quarterback pressure.
Right.
What did they do immediately? Go sign two guys that paid off really well. And I throw DeNico out there as, you know, he really got into it. And Bud had, you know, he affected the game as much as he could. I'm really waiting to see what he's going to look like in year two following that ACL recovery.
Yeah.
But you go exactly where you have a need, you know, and that tight end position ain't a bad one to start at this offseason.
Because I think you can bet on younger guys who are a little more unproven contributing on a defense when you are surrounded by the amount of big money talent you already have.
Yeah.
I don't see Harold Landry coming back to this team for that reason.
Right.
Not because he doesn't deserve the money that he's going to get and not because he didn't have a good enough year this year, but because you've got to prioritize what's worth $17 million of this cap. Mm-hmm. And right now you've got probably $30 or $40 million of need on the offensive side of the football, and you've got $10 to $15 million that you can give up that you would maybe spend on the defense if your offense wasn't in as good of a spot.
Right. The thing that kind of gets me with Harold's situation, yes, his ticket is what is going to be this offseason as far as his market value.
Right.
You know, I think it's $1.5 million per sack at this point. I think is what the valuation of it is, but you got to ask yourself, and I think it might have been Tanier or somebody that brought up, like, you worry about teams losing their core guys all the time.
Absolutely.
That's one thing that does happen to this team more frequently.
And it just happened a year ago.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Jonnu probably didn't work as much as they thought it would this year one in New England. But if you'd have kept him here and he'd have had the idea of taking just a little less to stay here, I'm not sure what Boston taxes are as opposed to no state income tax here in Tennessee. But I would at least wanted them to get in the ballpark and say, hey, look, it's really equal money. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the conversation we had. And that's, I don't know if Harold is willing to do that. You know what I'm saying? Or if they can convince him enough to do that too.
Right.
Everybody wants to make the max amount that they possibly can in your playing earning career. And I don't blame them. You should. But you got to hope that the culture of this team would say, hey, man, one or two off. Are you willing to stay here in Tennessee?
If Jayon Brown is gone, then you have lost your entire 2017 draft class.
Sheesh.
Every single pick.
You expect him to be gone?
I do.
Okay. Yep.
Just given the way David Long has stepped up. And if Rashawn Evans and Harold Landry are gone, Dane Cruikshank is the only remaining member of the 2018 draft class that would still be on this roster. Because you drafted four guys that year, and it was Rashawn Evans, Harold Landry, Dane Cruikshank, and Luke Falk.
Sheesh.
Let's get another quick call in real quick. Let's go to John in the borough.
Hey, now.
This morning. Good morning, John.
Morning, John.
What's up, fellas? I don't know if I can top my call from yesterday, but I had a real bad day sports talk-wise with New Orleans, with Sean Payton quitting and the Baseball Hall of Fame voting. I'll get into that later. So I'm choosing violence, and I'm teaching these HOEs a lesson. If I'm the GM of the Titans, I'm trading Mike Vrabel to New Orleans for a fourth-round pick. I'm trading Ryan Tannehill for Taysom Hill. And then I'm going to turn around and give Derrick Henry for a seventh-round pick. I'm going to teach Titans fans a lesson. Be grateful for what you have, because you're going to lose it real quick.
Hey, John.
Thank you, John.
I think you broke me right there.
Oh, goodness.
John said,
Derrick Henry for a seventh-round pick.
If you think you're lonely now, John said, if I was John Robinson, he's got the first name.
Oh, at least I think there's an H in this, John. That's a key difference, key differentiating factor. Thank you for the call, John.
He said he was choosing violence.
We accept all violence.
But this is what
we don't discriminate.
This is what Jay and I talked about too, as we went into the season, later part of the season was, do you want to fly real close to the sun, 1 or 2 years?
Yeah.
Or do you want to fly even with a few peaks, couple valleys here or there? Like, which team do you want to be, to John's point, though, you know? Because it could get very Sean Payton-ish and New Orleans Saints and, Carolina Panthers. It could do that. I think Tampa's going to go back through that again.
No doubt about it. 615-737-1045 mm-hmm. is where you jump in on the show. What is the first move you are making for the Titans this offseason? Plus, we have a new leader in the clubhouse, not only for Aaron Rodgers, but also for Davante Adams. And they could be going to the same place. We'll get into the headlines around the NFL. Coming up next, hour one down, three more to go. It is J-Mart and Ramon, and it's 104.5 The Zone.